start on Pei Vav Amud Bet. So we're dealing with a new topic. We were dealing with the topic of the utensils of the buyer in the domain of the seller. So now we began with a new topic. Rav and Shmuel, they say like this, that if a person said when selling, I'm selling to you 30 sah for 30 shekel, so then till the 30 sah have not yet been delivered, the deal's not done. He said 30 sah for 30 shekel. But if he said 30 sah for 30 shekel, which is one sah per shekel or one shekel per sah, so then the fact that he added that second line, one shekel per sah, means that as each sah is delivered, the deal on that sah was done. Okay, that's the idea of Rav and Shmuel. So Tashma, come on your proof. We're on the bottom here of Pei Vav Amud Beis. There is a law that we are not allowed to charge interest. That means that if I give you time with my money, I give you a month with my $1,000, I can't ask of you that after that month you give me back $1,010 or $1,100. I can't charge you for time with my money. That's the biblical law. There are rabbinic forms of things that look like interest that are also prohibited. One of those is to get a cheaper price for a good by means of prepaying. So let's say I'm selling hats for $100 a hat. So I'm in a business, I always need cash. So a guy comes in and says, listen, I know you don't have any hats yet. I'll give you $95 now. You'll give me, in a month from now, a $100 hat. That's interest. Because he's giving me $95 for a month extra without his getting the good yet, he's then getting a more valuable good than what he could get now. For $95 now, he couldn't get a $100 hat. But he's going to get a $100 hat in a month from now because he gave me the $95 now. So that's interest. So because he's giving me time with, or it looks like interest, because he's giving me time with his money, I'm giving him not just his money back, $95, I'm giving him more. I'm giving him a $100 hat. So now the Gemara is going to try to apply that concept to a worker. Let's say there's a worker that right now his wage would be $1. But in a month from now, when it's the season of making the wine and you need workers, the average wage would be $4. So is there a problem of interest in him saying, okay, give me $1 now, this way I know I've got a deal, and then later I'll do work for you for $1, even though later I could rent myself out for $4. Yeah, David, a question.
But is it legal? Is it okay to do the prepay? The 95 for 100, is that in the
no,
law?
No,
it's
no.
Considered interest.
Right, rabbinically, it looks like interest. So Tashma, so again, we're trying to understand, we're trying to resolve the question of Rav and Shmuel, their law. They said that when a person, a seller, says both the sum total as well as the component parts, then each component part is a separate deal. And we don't say, oh, there's one deal which is the big deal. So Tashma, come on your proof. We learned. Hasocher es hapoel, a man who hires a worker now during Nisan, lasos imo lagoren. He says, listen, you'll work for me, not now, there's nothing to do now because the wheat is drying in the field. You'll work for me in Shavuos time when we actually harvest. Hayom bedinar. And every day that you'll work for me, you'll get a dinar per day of work. And because of that, I gave the worker right now, you know, 30 dinar for the 30 days that he's going to be working for me during the harvest time. Now, Vilagoren, if he would hire himself out during the harvest time, Yafesela, each day he would deserve 4 shekel. I mean, that's the way it works. In the harvest time, when it's hard to find workers, a worker goes for 4 dinar a day. But I got away with only giving him 1 dinar a day because I gave him the dinars now, early. I gave it to him in Nisan before he's doing the work. So now, if the 2 months go by and we're in Shavuos time and he's doing the work, I'm not allowed to accept that work because basically he gave me a lower price because I fronted the money to him. By my fronting the money to him, the 30 days worth of work, I gave him the 30 dinars now in Nisan, so he later delivered back to me, after keeping this money for a couple of months, 120 dinar worth of work, because he delivered for me 30 days of work during the harvest time when each day is worth 4 dinars. Aval, im scharo mehayom, but if I hired him instead of for the 30 days of the harvest time, I hired him from today. I said, in Nisan, you start working for me dinar hayom, a dinar per day. For the next 100 days, each day you'll get a dinar. Vilagoren, now included in these 100 days are also the harvest season. When yafasela, when normally a person would get 4 dinar for labors, a day's labor. Mutter, then that's allowed. So now the Gemara is like this. Isal kataitach, if you're going to think, like Rav and Shmuel, that when you say both the larger number and the parts, kur b'shloshim, 30 sah for 30 shekel, which means that each sah will be given for a selah, ani mochelach, I'm selling to you, then rishon rishon kana, each sah is a separate deal, and each sah is acquired separately. So then hachanami, so then let's say the same over here. It's true he's saying, start working for me today, but I'm saying two things. I'm saying work for me both in the macro sense for 100 days as well as in a component sense. Each day is a separate deal. So each day is a separate deal, kama kama mifsiklei. So in each day is separate and divorced. So then it should, again, be interest that for the later time when he's deserving to get for sela or for dinar, a sela per day, he is going to only get 1 dinar. And the reason why I'm going to get away with that, I'm going to be getting 4 dinar worth of work for a single dinar, is because earlier I gave him cash. And these are two separate deals. If they're two separate deals, then it looks like interest, that because I fronted money to him, later he gave back to me something more valuable. So, kama kama mifsik pasak. And so why in the Braisa did it say that if it was mehayom bedinar, that if it was for 100 days, and starting from today already, each dinar a day, v'lagor en yafasela, if at the time of the harvest he really deserves 4 dinar, mutter, it's all allowed, am I, why, v'agar natar lihu? It's absolutely a situation of, you know, he's giving me money. Or actually, it's a situation of like a guy who buys something by giving a discounted price now, he's going to get a more valuable item later. That's what's happening here. I'm giving him now only a single shekel. And as a result, because I fronted to him the single shekels of later, he later delivered to me that which is worth 4. Amar Rava, Rava said, V'tizbra, do you think that that's really true? This is not a case of interest. Zilzule b'schiris mi aser. Is it prohibited for a person to rent himself out for a lower price? In other words, when you have an employee, he wants money. So it's true, he could wait till the time when everybody wants employees and then he'll get a nice price. But he wants to have a job now. What do they say? A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He wants to have a bird in hand now. So he's willing to sign himself up for a long-term deal because right now, he's getting work and he's getting a lower price. So that's not interest. It's not that because I gave him money now, he's later going to give me back more later. He wants to be hired out. He doesn't want to be unemployed. So that's why he accepted a deal, even though right now it's not so much. And it'll be later not so much, but at least he has a job right now. So he says, okay, well, if that's the case, Maishna Resho, Maishna Seifa. Why in the beginning of the Braisa, when I hire him for the harvest season, and I will pay him 30 shekel for the harvest season, for the 30 days, but I give him the 30 shekel now, it is interest. When we say if I hire him for the full 100 days from now through the harvest season, and I start paying him a shekel per day, it's not interest. The answer is like this. In the first case, when I hired him for the harvest season, but I gave him the money now, he's not doing work for me right now. He's not doing any work. He's not doing work till Shavuos, till the harvest season. So he's sitting for 50 days with no work. So merzi ki agar natale. So that looks like a loan. It looks like I gave him money. And because I gave him time with my money, he's in return turning around and giving me back something more valuable. He's giving me, you know, work worth 4 per day and only getting 1 per day for that work. Seifa, but in the latter case, the kahavid bahadei mehashta, where he is working for me right from now. Yes, it's true, it's a 100-day deal. And right now, this is a fair price. But later on, this is not a fair price. Doesn't matter. He's working right now. So since he's working right now, then you have your latter point. It's just a man looking to get a job right away. He wants to have a solid job. Lo merzi ka'agar natale. It doesn't look like interest. It doesn't look like I'm giving him money now. He gets to use it, so he's going to, in turn, pay me back with something more valuable. That's not what's going on. What's going on is that he took the job right now. Taking the job right now means that right now it's a fair price. Later it's going to be a cheap price. Okay, that was his choice because he wanted to have a bird in hand. That doesn't look like interest. That just looks like a person who's desperate for a job. So he takes whatever he can get because he needs the money. So that is not a case of interest. So it didn't disprove the law of Rav and Shmuel. Instead, we go back. We still have what Rav and Shmuel say. They say that if a person, in making a deal, both mentions the big amount plus the component parts, so that's really two separate deals, basically. There is a deal for the big amount, and every component part is a separate deal. And therefore, in a case of a sale, if I said 30 sa'ah for 30 sla'im, and I then said further, the component amount, one sa'ah per sela'ah, so then as I meet out to him, as I measure out to him each sa'ah, he acquires those sa'im. So if I've measured out 15, I can't say, okay, now I reverse the deal. I take all of the sa'ahs back. I want more than 30 sla'im. I want more than, you know, a sela per sa'ah. I can't. Every sa'ah that was measured out, he acquired. Each little piece is a separate deal. The situation of the worker, why, if they're all separate deals, why isn't the latter case also considered interest? The latter case is not viewed like interest, because in the latter case, it's just a worker who's working right away. And since he's working right away, what's going on is that he's taking for himself the immediate job, and that doesn't therefore look like interest, as if he was going to give me back later more because now I fronted money to him. No, he's just taking the immediate job that he can get. Yeah, please, a question.
It's all strange, but I work with correlation to see if I'm following you in our business. We have people that when they run a project, we give them, let's say, $5 an hour extra. So instead, sometimes when we don't have stuff for them to work, we say, okay, you're going to get $3 an hour all the time, and when that job comes that you can run, you're still only going to get $3. See what I'm saying? Is that?
Yeah. Sounds like it's fine, because they're working right away. Yeah, they're working right away. It's okay. That's fine. Now, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah has talked about flax. And the Gemara explained, flax is not something that you can make into a package. So therefore, flax gets acquired by means of meshicha, by means of pulling it. If the flax is attached to the ground, the talash kolshu, once he detached some of the flax, he acquires all the flax. Asks the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense. Mishum the talash kolshu kana. If he detached a little bit of the flax, he should acquire all of the flax. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes answered, Hacha b'maya skinan. Here, what are we dealing with? Amarle, where the seller told the buyer, Lech yapei lecha karka kolshu. Go and improve for yourself some of the land, a little bit of the land. So through that act of improving some of the land, doing a chazakah, and some of the land, kani kol masha leha, you will acquire all that is on the land. Now Tosfos explains, we'll take Tosfos' explanation here, is that I'm basically telling him like this: you do an act of chazaka on my land, I have a lot of flax going on the land, by you doing an act of chazaka on my land, you become a borrower of my land, so then all the flax becomes acquired to you through kinyan chatzer, through the acquisition of it being in your courtyard. Now it's in your courtyard, so therefore you acquire all of the flax that's in the land. All right, next mission. In those days, you have to remember, who was it who mentioned this? Maybe it was Izzy mentioned this, or somebody else mentioned this. That in those days, they didn't have packaged bottles of milk or a carton of eggs. You came with your jar to the store, and then from the store, you filled up from the barrel milk, or you filled up from the barrel oil or flour, but you came with the measuring utensils. So now we deal with topping off, you know. How do you get all the drops in? So, Hamocher Yayin V'Shemen L'Chaveiro, a guy who's selling wine or oil to his friend, V'Hukru, and they agreed on a deal. Let's say we'll set a pound for a dollar, and now the prices of wine have gone crazy. Now they're higher. I say, you know, I don't want to give a pound for a dollar of oil or a gallon for a dollar. I want more. Oshahuzlu, well, they went down in price. So the buyer doesn't want to give me the dollar. He wants to only give the 25 cents, and now is the going rate. So Imachlon Ismali Samida, if the measuring utensil is not yet full, Lamocher, so then the seller can renege and say, no, I'm only gonna deliver the rest. You have to give me back what you've gotten so far. Unless you give me the higher price, Mishnah Ismali Samida. But once the measuring tool is full, then the buyer has acquired it, and now the seller can't renege. Now, if there is a broker in between who negotiated the deal, he buys from one, he sells to the other, Beinayim in between them, and the measuring utensil belongs to him. So then, Nishbra Chavis, if this measuring utensil breaks, Nishbra Lasarsu. So he is the one who loses, because the way it works when you have a broker is that he buys the wine and oil from me, the seller, and then he sells the wine and oil to you, the buyer. So since it broke in his domain, it's his loss. V'chayev, now another law about selling wine and oil, talking about topping off, v'chayev, and the one who's selling the wine and the oil, after he pours the wine and oil from his barrel into my jar, lahatif lo shalosh tipin, he needs to drop in the last three drops. Now, if after he dropped in the last three drops, Hirkina, he then turned his utensil, Umitzes, and he gathered some, you know, sediments of oil, some little remains at the bottom of his utensil, Hareyu Shel Mocher, even though really that little amount should have been mine too, I was miyayish about it, I gave up on it, and it belongs to the seller. V'achenveni, a storekeeper, he's very busy. He's got lots of people coming to the store. They all want to get oil. They all want to get wine. If for each customer, he needs to sit with the, you know, putting in the last few drops, it's going to create lines. So, Eino chayav lahatif shlo shatipin. After he pours from the utensil into my utensil, that's enough. He doesn't need to drop in the last three drops. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says, only be'erev Shabbos chashecha, im chashecha, if it's Friday, close to evening, as you know, Friday afternoon, as the sun is setting, then the storekeeper is stressed and we can't demand of him to top off. Pater, then he's exempt. But otherwise, during the week, even the storekeeper, when he pours the gallon of wine into my gallon, he needs to make sure that the last three drops go into. He has to shake in the last three drops. Asks the Gemara, Hai Midu Deman. Let's talk about the first case. The first case said that if the utensil is full, then already it belongs to the buyer. If the utensil's not full, it still belongs to the seller, and the seller can therefore renege if the prices have gone up and say, you know what, I demand more money than what we had agreed to. Hai mita deman, who does this utensil belong to? Ilema mita delokeach, if the utensil belongs to the buyer, achlan esmalis mita lamocher, until it's full, it doesn't belong yet to the buyer, it still belongs to the seller, I don't understand. Mita delokeachi, it is the utensil of the buyer, and once a little bit goes in, it should already belong to the buyer. Elamida democher. So we're talking about a utensil that belongs to the seller. So that mishin nismale samida. Even after the utensil is full, why do you say it goes alokeach? It goes to the buyer. Mida democher. It's still in the utensils of the seller. Rabbi Lai explained, Midas Sirsu. We're talking about a fact. This is where it's the utensil of a middleman. Not that there is a middleman here. This is the utensil of the middleman. So the way the utensil of the middleman works, it's like this. I, the seller, have a right to this utensil as long as it's being filled. Once it's full, then it's transferred over to the buyer, because it's not mine, nor is it his. It's the middleman's. He just wants the deal to happen. So therefore, as it's filling up, it's still mine. And once it's full, it now belongs to the buyer, and therefore what's inside belongs to him. So let me say one second. But since the end of the Mishnah talked about a middleman, if the utensil breaks, it's the middleman who loses. That implies that the beginning of the Mishnah was not talking about a middleman. So the Gemara answers, Reisha was mida below sarsur. The beginning is about the utensil of the middleman without him being there. So then the utensil moves from the ownership or being the domain of the seller to the domain of the buyer once it's full. Seifa is besar sur atzmo. The latter part of the Mishnah is when the middleman is actually there. When the middleman is there, then it doesn't belong to the buyer until he hands it over to the buyer. It's his. It actually belongs to the middleman once it gets filled, once the utensil is filled. That's what it says. If it belongs to the middleman and it breaks, so it's his loss. All right, then we said here, what was that? If it's his vessel.
It's my vessel. I can put
Are you the buyer?
I'm the buyer.
No, if you're the buyer, it becomes yours the moment it's in your vessel.
Even if you put chetzi, you can stop at the chetzi.
But the middleman, if it's not your vessel, it's the middleman's vessel. So he lends it to the seller while the seller is filling it up. And once it's full, he lends it to the borrower, to the buyer. The Mishnah said that a person who sells wine and oil has to make sure after he fills up his friend's jar to drop in the last three drops. And if after he dropped in the last three drops, he turns it on its side or mitzes and he sort of, pulls out of it the last few drops, harei shel mocher, those last drops belong to the seller. Kiselik Rebbe Lazar, when Rebbe Lazar went to the land of Israel from Bavel, Ashkuche le Ziri, he met Ziri. Amar le, Rebbe Lazar said to Ziri, Mikan Tana desnayis Rav Midos. Who here is an expert on Tanaitic lessons that Rav has taught him, the Mishnah that deals with measuring cups? So Achve Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, they showed to him Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So Amar le, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said to Rebbe Lazar, Maika Kashlach, what's your problem? So he explained, I'll tell you what my problem is. It's not our Mishnah, but Abbas is a problem. The Mishnah says here, Kino mitzeis harei shel mocher. If the seller turns the utensil over and he gathers at the bottom of the utensil the oil and wine that are left, after the three drops, he can keep it. Aye, but we learned in regards to Masechta Trumos that a person who pours wine of Truma from one barrel to another, so he has to drop the last three drops, and then, if after he dropped the last three drops, here Kina, he turned the barrel on its side, umitza, and he gathered on the barrel a little oil or wine, harezu truma, that is still truma. That means it still belongs to the owner of the oil and the wine. So the same thing should be true here, that oil and wine that are gathered at the bottom of the barrel should belong to the buyer. Amar lei, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi answered to Rebbe Lazar, Itmar Allah, but that we already have an explanation for that. Amar Rebbe Bo explained, Mishum Yeyush Bailam Naguba, the idea of why the leftover oil and wine belong to the seller is because the buyer, really it is the buyer's. It's such a small amount, the buyer gives up on getting it. He's miyaesh, he despairs of getting it. Therefore, the seller can keep it. That's fine when you talk about a buyer. But in regards to Truma, Truma is a Kohen can't be miyaesh on truma. It's still truma. It has holiness. The fact that he despairs doesn't work to give away that which is holy. It can't take away holiness. The holiness is still there. So since the holiness is still there, in fact, it's still truma. Then we had a question about whether a storekeeper has to drop the last three drops. So according to the Chachamim, he does not. According to Yehuda, he does. But on Erev Shabbos, he doesn't. Ibailu, that a question in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Reishakai, is Rabbi Yehuda referring to the beginning, Gulakula, and he's being more lenient. He's saying every seller doesn't have to drop the three drops if it's an Erev Shabbos. Maybe it's the way we read it. He's referring to the end, and he's being stricter. He's saying that a normal seller certainly has to give the three drops. Even a storekeeper has to give the three drops. The storekeeper is only exempt on Erev Shabbos as the sun is setting. Tashma, come in here, proof to Tanya Lutin Abraisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, Erev Shabbos Simcha Sheicha, if it's Friday and the sun is setting, Chen Veni Pater, the storekeeper doesn't have to give the last three drops. Because he's very stressed with a lot of work, with a lot of customers, people coming to get Shabbos food at the last minute, and therefore everybody understands they're not going to get the last three drops. And when they buy the gallon, so they're mochel, okay, they're not going to get exactly a gallon. They may be missing a little from what they bought. Next Mishnah. Okay. A storekeeper gave to a child, the goods. Hashaleach espino etzel chenveni. A man who sends his son to the storekeeper, and in the hands of the son, he gave a pundion, upundion biyado. Now, pundion is worth two isars. And he told him to buy one isar worth of oil. Umadadlo bi isar shemen. So the storekeeper not only took the money, but in return, he gave an isar worth of oil to the child. Vinasanlo, and he gave that oil to the child. And he also gave him esa isar. He also gave him the isar change. Shavra satzluchis. But then the child dropped the container with the oil, and the oil was ruined. And ibed esa isar. He lost that coin that was given him as change. The storekeeper is responsible because he was the one who was negligent giving such things to a child. Rabbi Yehuda Poter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the storekeeper is not responsible. I'm going to ask Kin Shlocho. The storekeeper was right to assume that if the father sends a child with the coin and an order, it doesn't just mean that the child is being sent to inform the seller of the order and the price, but the father trusts the child. If the father trusted the child with the punjon, which is worth two isars, so the chenveni is entitled to feel, okay, I'm fulfilling what the father wants by giving oil and an isar change to the child. Now, Chacham would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Bizman shet at a time. Shatzluchas biatinok. If the child came with the measuring cup, that if the child came with the measuring cup and the coin of two isarim, and the storekeeper filled up the measuring cup, and then the child broke the measuring cup and lost the coin, and certainly the storekeeper doesn't have to pay for the measuring cup because he didn't, you know, put the measuring cup in the hands of the child. The person sending it sent the child with this measuring cup. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam, I understand the argument between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, v'isar v'shemen, and the case where the storekeeper gave to the child the change plus the oil. B'ha pligi, the argument is like this, Rabban sarvi lo du eshadre. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that a storekeeper should assume that a child was only sent to inform him of the order, but not that the child should be the delivery boy. That's irresponsible. Rabbi Yehuda, some Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, if a child comes with an order and with the money, that means that the father is saying, I trust my son, you should trust my son too. Ella, but Shavar tzluchis. If the child breaks the cup, aveda midasi, right? Why would he have to pay? That was, you know, deliberate irresponsibility. So he deliberately went to lose it. He was negligent. Amar Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya answered, Hachav Balabayis Mocher Tzluchios Askinan. Here we're talking about our father sells cups. So since he sells cups, and the storekeeper took the cup to check it out to see if it's a good cup. Shmuel, this is the Chiddush of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, if I take a utensil from a craftsman to check it out, if it's good, then while it's in my hand, it breaks. Chayiv, I have to pay for it. So that's what's going on here. They had agreed on a price for the cup. So the moment the storekeeper lifted it, he was responsible for it. When he gave it to the child, he's the one who is causing it to be lost. And that's why he's responsible, according to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds he's not responsible like Shmuel. Okay, stop here. Thank you.